Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be Amazing Podcast here on SweatNet. I'm your host, Seal, and I just want to say thank you for joining me today. This is episode 47, and before I tell you who my guest is, I want to take a quick second and say thank you to all the incredible instructors from the fitness community here in Charlotte who joined me to just make Strong Camp Charlotte amazing. And all the women that traveled in as far from Chicago, Tennessee, West Virginia, just an incredible time. I know that there are friendships and bonds that were made, and I know that women's lives were changed and impacted. So thank you all for being part of that. And then a quick shout out to all the sponsors that provided giveaways, snacks, and just helped us push this out through the community. Functional Fit Charlotte was our host gym. Glowbody, Burn Bootcamp, Project Lean Nation, Rebellia, Rebalance, Sydney Cummins, Gene Type, Vaz Nutrition, Bellringer Clothing, Dillard's South Park, Suzanne Libfrained, Coca-Cola Consolidated, and I want to thank SweatNet and my husband Eric Smart, who were there taking photos and videos all weekend long with us. And of course, Strong Fitness Magazine for the opportunity. And can't wait because our next big women's weekend is the Be Amazing Weekend happening on October 15th and 16th. Again, it's here in Charlotte. We have all kinds of events that you can participate in. For more information on all of that and how you can register to be part of it, go to beamazingweekend.com. I don't want you to miss it. It's an incredible time, and just can't wait to do this again on a bigger scale. So now let's talk about my next guest. On this episode of the Be Amazing Podcast, I interview Nisha Pai, a Charlotte-based CPA that employs stay-at-home moms to assist her in offering outsourced accounting services to small businesses. Last year, Nisha authored an award-winning book entitled Overcoming Ordinary Obstacles that exemplifies her belief that humans all share in and can relate through the experience of pain. Listen in to hear how Nisha's experience growing up as a first-generation Indian woman in the South and get motivated hearing about her continuous pursuits to be amazing in whatever she's doing. Stay tuned for this incredible conversation with Nisha. Welcome to the show, Nisha. I am so excited you're here with me today.
I am honored. I'm actually really more excited than you are to be here. And so I'm honored. Thank you for having me today.
Yes. Absolutely. Like, you've had me on your podcast, which tell everybody where they can find that.
I have a podcast called Piece of the Pie. I actually interview entrepreneurs in Charlotte. I've done some outside of Charlotte, but it's more of a hobby for me. Whereas you, I mean, I think I had 23 episodes in like 3 years. And you have far surpassed me, but Piece of the Pie can be found on Spotify, Apple, and iTunes and Stitcher.
Awesome. And I've listened to your podcast and I love it. And that's why I wanted to make sure we highlighted that before we
get
started.
I need to get back on it. Thank you for pushing me.
Absolutely. Well, let's just start out. Tell everybody a little bit about who you are.
Yes, I am. I always say I'm just a CPA. I'm not as glamorous or exciting as your other guests, but I own a company, a Pi CPA here in Charlotte, and my business model is based on employing stay-at-home moms, and I will be 10 years old on March 1st. So I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a 21-year-old son who is a senior at NC State in engineering, and he is graduating. So I know you can relate to me about having an only child son who is a new adult. And so that's taken some, I want to say maybe I grieved a little bit this summer about that. It's almost bittersweet. But, you know, now that I am practically empty nesting, it's time for me to really get into who I am and what I love.
I can so relate to you. I've had moments of ups and downs because Jonathan's 21. He's graduating from nursing school in April. And yeah, like you, it's that weird thing of like, I'm really cautious about like, you know, how much I say to him and then how much I have to let him fly. And it's just a really strange moment. So I can totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. But you know, I try to tell my friends who have kids, like, when you do finally empty nest, you know, make sure you already have created a life that you love for yourself so that you can seamlessly just go into it.
That's it. Like, I think it's so important for women to have things and moms to have things that are theirs because your kids do leave at some point. And you want it,
100%.
right? And they want you to be happy too. That's the thing. So it's happiness on both ends. Like you pursuing something you love and your kid is pursuing what they love. And it's just like that makes for a healthy relationship.
Yes, definitely.
So let's just go ahead and jump right into talking about your business. What was the moment for you? Because you were working for a company, and there's a story behind this where you left that to start and you just became an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was a stay-at-home mom for 6 years in between my career. And I ended up getting a divorce. So I had to go back out into the workforce. And I ended up working for a local CPA firm here in Charlotte. And I was there for about 5 years and decided that I was ready to move up to the next level. You know, my son was older, I could take more hours. And I went into my boss to ask for a raise and a legitimate raise. I had come in prepared with like all my accolades and everything that I'd accomplished in 5 years. And he, I will never forget this conversation, but he looked at me when I asked for this raise, which was a reasonable raise. And he said to me, "You will never be where your peers are because you had a absence in your resume. And therefore, I'm not going to give you this raise," because basically he was saying to me, you're not that valuable. And I literally had a Jerry Maguire moment. I always call it that to make it kind of humorous, even though it wasn't funny at the time. And I basically quit on the spot. I think I ran down the hallway because all of my peers were sticking their head out of the office. And I ran down to my car. And as I was going down to my car, just mad, sad, crying, tears. I remember like, okay, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to do this on my own. I can do it better. And I was dreaming up logo colors already, right, as I was walking to my car. And I took my one big client with me. The big client came with me and I just swam. I just started with that client and kind of like how I see you do, like, I just put myself out there. I just was relentless about putting myself out there. You know, I wanted people to know who I was, who my company was, what I was doing. And I built from there. And that was 10 years ago. I started a niche here in Charlotte that was relatively new. My niche is outsourced accounting services. So essentially, we are an accounting department for small businesses. And a lot of my colleagues, which were good old boys, they are good old boys. They didn't understand me, they didn't get me, and I felt like I was on this island alone. But when you are building something that no one understands or believes in, you oftentimes are alone. But I think in that aloneness, you grow your strength. So I just kept going. I just kept going and going and going. And here I am 10 years in, and I've built something I'm really proud of.
So tell us about that niche. What is it that's very different with your company versus somebody else's?
Yeah, so a lot of CPAs are known to do taxes, or they're known to do audits and reviews and compilations, which are the traditional accounting, I guess, disciplines. So what I created, or what was out there at the time that wasn't in Charlotte yet, was being the controller and CFO of small businesses. Small businesses cannot afford a full-time CFO or a full-time controller or a full-time accountant. I basically saw this area that was underserved. I mean, small businesses are underserved. And if anything proved that, it was the pandemic, that a lot of people were scrambling to have their financials done, understanding what a Schedule C was. So I realized 10 years ago that this market needed to be served because everyone is so focused on corporate America and the big guys, when really it's the little guys that run the country, right? So, you know, there is this mass need for accounting work, bookkeeping, basically getting your finances in order as a small business. Most people, most entrepreneurs have no idea where to start. We come in and we set your company up on the finance end, your accounting system, how to structure it, best practices, and we maintain it. And so you can go run your business while we take care of your accounting needs.
That's awesome. And I love that you found like your lane with it and that the small business that you help, because that is such a need.
And I always tell people, if you have this Rolls Royce, you know, concept and this Porsche, you know, logo, Porsche looking logo, what about your back office? You don't want that to be, you know, a Yugo. You want your back office to be another luxury car. And so that's what we do. We make sure that your back office is on point with your brand.
Love it. Well, with that, with jumping into entrepreneurship, starting a business, did you have moments or were there challenges that you faced that made you question that decision?
I think if you're an entrepreneur, you will question yourselves. You'll question yourself 100 times a day. You will, right? That's normal. And so absolutely I did. Absolutely. When it got hard, or when I lost a client, or I wasn't, you know, getting the clients I wanted earlier in the early days, I was like, what am I doing? Am I supposed to be doing this? And absolutely. And I think that we all question ourselves. If you are an entrepreneur or a business owner, you are not normal if you do not question yourself. You're on the extraordinary, because I think it is a normal part of the process.
Yes, it is. I think every business owner or anybody that's even looking to think about it or step into it, it's good to know that you're not alone, especially from people like yourself that have been doing this, you know, for 10 years. And just what
I
you're
still
saying
question
to me,
myself. Yeah, I will say on the converse, what a phenomena that occurred for me was, even opposite of questioning myself and my abilities, the more and more I got into my profession and this niche, I realized I knew a lot more than a lot of accountants. And I did. I mean, and you know, that's not to like pat myself on the back, but I'm like, I actually do know more. Like, give yourself credit, Nisha. Like, you do.
I love that, because that's so important. I think that's the truth. I think we can get so locked in looking at all the things that we maybe don't have down yet, or what we think we're not good enough to do. You need to look at that and realize, like, yeah, I do have what it takes. I can do this.
Yeah. And now I dub myself the financial statement doctor, because I can look at somebody's financials and immediately identify immediately in like what is wrong on the balance sheet and the P&L and their chart of accounts. So, you know, it's taken me a long time, but I finally own the fact that, hey, I'm really good at what I do.
I love the confidence. And,
and I think that all women, right? All women, we need to be better about that.
100%. So you've been an entrepreneur, and then this past year, 2020, you release a book. I want to know what inspired you to author this book. And it's called, for those of you that don't know, it's called Overcoming Ordinary Obstacles.
Yeah. So my book is my second baby, or well, my third baby, if you consider my company, but it is not about accounting. And when I released this book in January 2020, right before the pandemic, big dreams for this book. And it was a beautiful launch. Even through everything that happened, I have to say, in November, so toward the end of the year, I won one of the highest awards you can get through any type of books, independent publishing or not, through a company called American Book Fest. And I won the award for multicultural nonfiction category. And so apparently in the book world, this is a pretty high prestigious award. And my publisher actually submitted my book. And so my point is, you know, the pandemic didn't stop the success of my book. And I was that's just such a proud moment for me. But this book is about my journey as a first generation Indian woman born and raised in the South. It's been on my heart. I wasn't sure how to write, where to get started writing. There's a local publisher here in Charlotte, Spark Publications, who is amazing. And I went to Fabi, the owner, one day with my idea, and I said, this has been on my heart. Can you help me, you know, take this scribble that I had on a Word document and create a story, like a real book? And it took me a little over a year. Every Friday night, I would come home and I would write. And I would go back to my editor and she would take, you know, she'd be like, write 1500 words every Friday night. And I'd go to her and she'd like scratch out 3000. And then I'd have to start over and start over. And so I went through about 6 edit processes, which was frustrating. I had to drink a lot of bourbon while I was writing this, but I am so proud of this book. And the purpose of this book for me initially was to speak to really multicultural women or ethnic women, or just women. But the truest surprise out of this book for me is that I've had millennial white men who have read my book and said it has changed their lives. And my biggest review on Amazon comes from a 29-year-old white male here in Charlotte who said, your book has helped me realize that I'm not happy with what I'm doing and I need to change my purpose in my life. And I was too afraid to do it. So thank you. And that to me was I love all my reviews, but that to me really stuck out because he was not my intended audience. So my point is everyone has a story. Everyone needs to hear your story because you don't know who you're going to touch. Like, I'm sure you're surprised with people that you've touched that you didn't realize you would touch.
Oh, absolutely. Like 100%. Because the thing is, like, I don't, you know, you don't always know who's listening. You right. don't know like which story, like the one story you think is going to really hit and resonate with somebody. And it ends up being another one. And just the fact that you're right, like every story, everybody has a story. And to me, you know, my niche, my focus is always women, but we have men that listen too. That's the part that's amazing is when you know somebody's been impacted.
It's amazing. And my original goal, which is still my goal, is I want to do TED Talks. I want to do a TED Talk, you know, one day. I tend to dream big. So that's on my, you know, I'd love for Oprah to read my book. That's also on my big goals list. But yeah, so it is an extension of my brand. I do talk about how I started my business in the book, but the intent was to talk about my personal journey versus my business journey.
Well, here's the thing that I think is so unique about you too, is the fact that as an accountant, CPA, there's a certain viewpoint of, you know, somebody being very rigid, no creativity, very boxed in, systematic, organized. And then
it's here a stereotype.
You, yes. Yeah. And then here you yes. are and you steer off and you go a whole creative route. And you write this book and it just shows like you as a person, you're more than that. And that to me is so important to share.
It is, because we all are more than what we do, right? Or our profession. I wanted to venture out, you know, I don't want to be an accountant forever. I wanted to venture out in how can I impact people from my own experiences and my journey. I mean, parts of my journey were very painful, and I call them ordinary obstacles because I didn't face anything that you didn't face or someone else didn't face, right? I didn't face, you know, a terminal illness or a traumatic death, but I faced things that a lot of people could relate to and we don't normally talk about. The Indian culture doesn't talk about divorce. You know, I talked about my divorce, which is taboo. I talk about postpartum depression. You know, I talked about not being the pretty Southern blonde girl in East Tennessee that I wanted to be. And because I feel like we all share in pain, right? As human beings, we share at the intersection of pain in our lives. And I wanted to share some of my painful moments to say, hey, just because I'm a first generation Indian woman, doesn't mean that I can't relate to you, you know, Seal, as a blonde Southern woman, right? Like, we all have similar experiences. One of the painful moments I talk about, actually, since you're an athlete, is The one team that I was on was in the fourth grade. It was a rec center basketball team. And I was the shortest person on the team. No shock. I stopped growing at 5'1", probably in the fourth grade. I got benched at the tournament, whatever that last tournament is, right? I got benched the whole game. And that was the one game my parents came to. And it, you know, hurt me. It hurt me. It was one of those defining moments. And I thought, man, I suck as an athlete. I knew I wasn't an athlete. And no matter how many athletic things I tried in my life, I just wasn't good enough. And I placed these limiting beliefs on myself. And it's just funny because I'm friends with a lot of athletes. I love fitness, but I was never good enough to be on a team. You know, there are people that can relate to that part of my life. But I found that this book healed me in a lot of ways, healed me from just issues of my, you know, I had a lot of identity issues and a lot of first generation people do. And so it healed me with my family. It healed me with just internally myself, right? Accepting who I am. But it also gave me a way to connect and relate to everyone else. There's not one thing, if you're human and you read my book, you will relate to something in my book. I may have been said that I had a dirty face in the seventh grade, but you may have been called fat, right? So we have all experienced very similar human experiences.
Well, I just love how you have made it relatable. Where can someone get the book right now?
It is on Amazon, Overcoming Ordinary Obstacles. I also am in the process of building a cool Shopify link or tab on my website. So that will be coming out soon. But if you want more information on that, it is www.nishapai.com.
That's awesome. This is why I wanted you on the show, because I knew that you had so much to share, and it's an honor to have you here. So thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
But before, like, I'm not wrapping up by any stretch, so y'all hang on, because we're not done. So we have to talk about the whole athlete thing, because yes, friend, you are an athlete, because you've just taken on the challenge with Dancing with the Stars Charlotte, benefiting Carolina Breast Friends Pink House.
And I'm an athlete wannabe. So I will try anything. I've tried CrossFit. I've tried MMA. I said, sure, why not dancing? And you being such an inspiration, you won, was it 2 seasons ago?
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 2 years.
So I watched your graceful, beautiful dance. And I thought, man, you know, I would love to do that one day. And the opportunity presented itself. I don't say no. I don't say no to opportunities. The opportunity presented itself earlier in the pandemic. And I said, yes. I think the last time I danced was in the seventh grade. And I am very nervous. And there have been moments I've been like, what the heck am I doing? Like, I'm not a dancer. I'm not an athlete. But I was like, you know what? I am always up for the challenge. So it is an incredible organization, which, you know, Carolina Breast Friends and Dancing for the Stars Pink House. Like, who could say no to Claire and Felipe? And the cause itself is something that I am passionate about. And I remember attending your fundraiser, Men in Bras, and thought, God, what a fun thing to be a part of. And so I am honored. I think it's an honor to be a star on Dancing with the Stars, Charlotte Pink House. So I don't know, Seal. I'm going to be practicing. I'm glad they moved the date, because I'll be practicing every day from now until the fall.
Well, I'm so excited for you. It is a dream. It's like, if you watch the actual TV show, it very much has that similar experience, and you have that relationship with your pro, which I've seen you like post about that.
I love my pro, Paul.
Who's your pro? Yeah, I was going to say, tell us who your pro is.
Paul Montaguese, and he is Australian, which, talk to me in Australian all day, give me instruction, I'll do whatever you say. But you know what I love too is the camaraderie, the new friends I've made. It has actually been a light for me in the pandemic. And I'm looking forward to raising more money and dancing. And, you know, the date will come out soon, hopefully. But I am doing a very fast dance, so this is going to be a challenge for me. I asked if we could do the waltz and they were like, your personality is not the waltz.
No, you got to freaking come out there and you got to beast mode it. You got to with this high vibe and that needs to show. The waltz would just freaking slow you down. We need that energy on the stage.
I'm going to try to like emulate your energy from your dance. I've watched your video a few times now to get motivated. So
we'll just get up there. Like you're just going to have the best time. It's that moment of the, you know, the lights and the music and just the energy of what you're doing and on behalf of Caroline Breast Friends and the Pink House and what they do for our community and this is such a unique way to be able to give back. So tell everyone where they can donate. What's the best way for someone to do that at this point?
Yeah, you could actually go to Caroline Breast Friends website. And they have a particular page for Dancing with the Stars, and they have all the stars listed there and, you know, what their raise levels are. And you can just pick a star to donate to or just donate generically. So, you know, we've got more time to do that to fundraise. But if you want to follow me, I would love to have you as a follower on Nisha Pai, NESHAPAI, on Instagram. I love Instagram.
Yeah. And that's the best way probably for them to direct message you as well.
Yeah. And I have the link to donate in my bio. So that would be great.
Oh, right on. Okay. Well, I'm so excited about this. I can't wait to actually see you take the stage. Like it just thrills my heart and they're so fortunate to have you. And I know what it feels like to be part of a team. And I have some relationships from my experience and I will treasure them forever and I will treasure that moment forever. So I know it's going to be incredible.
Thank you for your support. I will need your support, especially on that day.
You got it.
And I adore you. And I just thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, absolutely. Well, two more things we have to like go over. So I asked you this on the fly, I think. But what is the song? Because I know you work out. So do you have a song that like fires you up that you have to have? Like it's like your total motivation and like dial in for a good workout.
In terms of working out, I love angry hip hop or 80s music.
I did not expect that from you.
Yeah, I love angry hip hop or 80s music for working out. It's such a, I know that's such a weird like opposite genre, but it's like either one of those get me in the mood. But angry hip hop for sure.
Angry hip hop. Is there a specific angry hip hop?
No, I don't even know the names of the songs.
Right. Just if it's angry and it's hip hop, we're in.
Give me a station with a lot of cuss words.
That's awesome. Do you listen to your song for your routine?
It's funny. I listen to it on the way and on the way to and on the way back from practice. Scary enough, it is a J-Lo song and I wanted to channel my inner J-Lo. So this is going to be really challenging.
Girl, better work.
I better work.
Girl, you've got all the sass and all the like stage presence to rock it. Like I have no doubt you're going to do amazing.
I got the hips. I just need to know how to move them.
Yeah, you can so do it. I'm so excited. This is going to be so fun. Before we end things, the last thing I always ask is if there was anything else on your heart that you wanted to share with the listeners.
I do. I have been thinking about your brand, Be Amazing. And I love it, first of all, because I think here I am. I'm just a CPA. I'm not an Olympic athlete. I'm not, you know, a pro bodybuilder. I'm not like, I didn't win Dancing with the Stars 2 seasons ago. But be amazing at what you do, whether you are a CPA, whether you are a janitor, whether you are a nurse, whether you are a teacher, whether you're an athlete, be amazing at what you do. That's really the message I wanted to give, because I think we can all be amazing and be extraordinary in our vocation. But you know, I wanted to say that my word of the year is light. And I decided that I want to be light. I want to share my light and love. And it doesn't matter what you do. It's just be an amazing person.
Yeah, Wow, that's everything. That's everything. And really, that's all the podcast is about, is sharing stories of women who inspire us and amazing in their own right.
Well, I used to downplay, right? I'm just an accountant. I'm not like anything special, but I think that we are all special in what we do. If we are always pushing the envelope and being the best person that we can be and pushing forward, we're pushing our game forward, our industry forward. That's all I'm setting out to do.
Now, I am right there with you. And I appreciate so much the conversation today and so much of what you've said throughout this entire podcast, and just ending on, you know, wrapping it up on this note, like this is everything that I'm trying to accomplish with the podcast and with what I'm doing and being connected to women like yourself that are in their own right amazing. Like, that's what it's all about. We all need each other.
100%. 100%. And so stop defining ourselves on, you know, our box of what we think we are, what our limits are, right? Never thought I'd be ballroom dancing, right? So, yeah. So be amazing. I love that phrase. I love that phrase.
Thank you. Well, Nisha, this has been like an honor and a pleasure, and I'm so inspired. Like, I'm walking away with takeaway today. I so appreciate you taking the time out to do this interview, and I can't wait to share it.
Well, I love you, and I'm a big supporter of yours, and I can't wait to see what happens with Be Amazing, and I'm looking forward to your big cheering face when we do have the show in the fall.
You got it. I'm there. I will not miss that.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about SweatNet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at SweatNet and SweatNet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at @itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast.